This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. The man who wrote the book on LeBron, literally, Jeff Benedict, New York Times bestselling author, will join us coming up next hour as the Lakers and Golden State Warriors get set to do battle coming up tonight. Lakers are getting 4.5. The Miami Heat getting 6.5 against the Knicks. Last night, James Harden, the old James Harden, not an old James Harden, had 45, 76ers take game one. Nuggets up 2-0 on the Suns. The 76ers do so without this year's MVP. Joel Embiid not able to play. Not sure what his status will be for game two. But it was all about James Harden last night. More on that coming up. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. This program brought to you this hour by Discover Credit Cards. They do something really awesome. Automatically double all the cash back you've earned at the end of the first year. Doubled from trips and restaurants. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Play of the day, poll question, and your phone calls. Always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. Make sure you download the app if you haven't done that. And our radio partners around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, nearly 390 cities around America carrying this program. Those on chat row, we say good morning to you as well. Back to James Harden. He reminded us of what he used to be, who he used to be. Now, we normally don't get this in the playoffs with James Harden. He's had some historically bad performances. But this is where you see a team that steps up. They step up because their best player is out. Now, it doesn't carry through a seven-game series, but sometimes you'll get that one game, and you had that last night. And for the analysts to say they had no chance, you always have a chance. Might be a slight chance, might be a 1%, less than 1%. You were 10-point underdogs. But this is more about Boston than it is Philadelphia, in my opinion, because we keep waiting for Boston to be threatening. I know they're good. Went to the NBA Finals last year. They got young talent. They've had a surprisingly good year given what happened with the coaching staff. And then you watch, and I keep waiting. And I don't know what I'm waiting for, because maybe this is who they are. Here's Jason Tatum meeting with the media after the loss.
Jason, does this feel like a missed opportunity given how long they were off, the Embiid situation, and you guys coming into this series hoping to make a statement? Does game one feel like a missed opportunity?
I guess. You just want to win every game you play. You know, regardless of circumstance, you want to win. And we didn't do it enough to win. So every game you lose, I guess, is a missed opportunity to get a win.
Pretty obvious question. Big windup there. And you basically, give me the question again. This is not well done here.
Jason, does this feel like a missed opportunity given how long they were off, the Embiid situation, and you guys coming into this series hoping to make a statement? Does game one feel like a missed opportunity?
All he had to do is go, yeah, that's it. Of course. Or no. Yeah, Seton.
He should have said, what do you think? You think every time you lose a game, it's a missed opportunity?
Failure.
What about every time you write a column? Was that a missed opportunity when you didn't get it perfect?
Would you prefer to play the Sixers with or without Joel Embiid? Your thoughts?
Yeah. Hey, I've asked those questions, too, in those press conferences where you're like, you stand up and next thing you know, everybody's waiting to hear what you're going to ask, and then you start to panic a little bit because you want to over-explain your question.
Jason, do you guys wish that you had won the game tonight?
No, we really want to lull them in a false sense of security. We tank this one. Maybe Embiid will rest another night.
Are you kidding me? We love James Harden. We want to have him have a good playoff game. You guys are always crushing him. Come on.
Jason, would it have been better if you guys did not lose tonight?
But James Harden did play well last night, and he expected a win last night.
We didn't come in the game expecting to lose. You know what I mean? Like, we are here to win. And even after this game, I told guys, don't get too happy. Like, we even kill. You know what I mean? Like, we're coming here to get game two as well. And so that's the mindset that we have as a unit. Whether Joe comes back or not, we'll be ready to go. Obviously, he's huge. I mean, he's everything for this team, but we got whoever's on the floor, let's go win the game, and that's what we did tonight.
You know, Boston shot almost 59% from the floor, but they were terrible from three-point range, and then there was a sequence late, really late in the game, where they couldn't squeeze off a shot because everybody wanted to take a three. And I thought, you can get a mid-range jumper here. You're okay with that. And then threw the ball away, Tyrese Maxey goes the other way. But, you know, give credit to James Harden. Harden scored 45. He is the fifth 76er to score at least 45 in a playoff game. The last time it happened was 03 with Allen Iverson. He did it seven times. Billy Cunningham, Wilt Chamberlain, and, of course, Lee Schaefer did it.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Here's Doc Rivers talking about James Harden after the game.
I thought that he had just the perfect mindset tonight. He really did. I'm so happy for him. It's amazing. The guy is a Hall of Famer. And all you hear is the other stuff about him. You really do. And he was fantastic.
Well, Doc's got to be honest. Because the reason why we hear about the other stuff is because this time of the year, we get the other stuff from James Harden. He's not clutch in the playoffs. But last night, he was wonderful. Putting up 45. And he had a good year. We talked about this probably 6 weeks ago, where I said, you know what? We don't hear much about James Harden and the 76ers. And it felt like, okay, we moved on. There's no Ben Simmons here. There's no drama here. They're just playing good basketball. Everybody's talking about the Bucks. They're talking about the Celtics. No one was talking about Philadelphia being the team to beat in the East. And they may not be. This is one game. It really hinges on Joel Embiid. And if you start to look at the playoffs, how many guys have to play great? Like Anthony Davis, the Lakers' playoff success will be predicated on his health. Well, also his performance, because he'll give you a 14 and 8 sometimes. And you're going, no, you should give me 24 and 18 is what you should be giving me. The Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid. With the Celtics, I'm not quite sure. Because as much as we want to, and I said this last year about Jason Tatum, he's a wonderful player, but we keep trying to put him in this category that I don't think he's ready for yet, or that he's earned. Is he one of the best players? Yes, but he's not in the top three or four or five, in my opinion. I think he has the talent. I just wonder the mindset. There are times when it looks like they're just going through the motions. They look non-threatening, and they could win it all. But when I watch, I'm always thinking what they should be, not what they are or what they're lacking. Yes, Marv.
He had 39 last night. It didn't feel like 39. Like Steph Curry will have those demoralizing three-pointers.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any of those demoralizing shots. He's a bucket getter, but it doesn't seem like he has one of those, like, put you in a stranglehold type of, you know, plays.
Yeah, if you get kind of a nondescript 39, you got it. I want to note, when the game's on the line, that guy's getting the ball, and he's going to get a bucket. That's what you want. And sometimes I don't get that. And maybe I'm asking too much with him. You know, Jaylen Brown, like, is he great? Are they great together? When it works, okay. When it doesn't work, and you're going, all right. And I felt bad for Al Horford, too. Al was on the perimeter guarding Harden. I go, oh, we shouldn't do that to Al. Even though Harden's about the same size as Al Horford is now, but Al's out there, and Harden does the same. Like, he's crossing over guys. He's beating guys off the dribble, and I'm going, wow. Yeah, Paul.
And I'm watching that game thinking about, if you're a Nets fan watching that game, we gave up James Harden, who led the league in assists, who's on his way maybe to the NBA Finals possibly this year, for Ben Simmons. And we're stuck with Ben Simmons, a guy who averages like 7 points a game, plays every other night. That was that trade.
Yeah, I know. And it felt like everybody, hey, we don't want this guy, so you take him, and we don't want that guy, so you take him, and we're all good here. And I kept thinking, I know Harden's at least going to be there in uniform playing. I don't know about Ben Simmons. But James Harden had a really good year, led the league in assists, and it was a nice performance. But I'd still look at the Celtics and say they're the team to beat. They should be. So you got Miami Heat getting 6.5 against the Knicks, and the Lakers getting 4.5 against the Warriors. If you're wondering, over under LeBron James tonight. You guys want to take a guess? We'll do Steph Curry over under, and Anthony Davis over under, if you want to do that as well, according to DraftKings. Let me start with LeBron
James.
Is that
James. Minutes played for?
No. It's points. It's points. Wow, a little snarky.
Yeah.
11 minutes in. Ooh, okay. Bad kitty. Todd, over under points for LeBron James.
28.5.
All right, Seton O'Connor.
26.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah.
Steph Curry over under, Marvin.
29.5.
Paul?
Oh, 30.5.
Todd?
31.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Dang it.
Back row is crushing today. Yeah. Anthony Davis over under, according to DraftKings. Paul?
22.5.
Marvin?
25.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Front row, come on now.
Dang, Paul. Better start pulling your weight up there.
Get it together, Pabst.
Yeah, you let your team down. 877-3DP-SHOW. Tyler standing by to take your phone calls, emails, tweets, all welcome as well. Seton poll question, hour one on this formerly award-nominated program.
What was more impressive, James Harden dropping 45 without Joel Embiid or Steph Curry's 50 in Game 7?
Steph Curry's 50.
Really?
Yeah. On the road, game seven. Yeah. And you just lost at home to Sacramento?
James Harden, it's been reborn.
Yeah, but this was game one. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, you know what? We're going to go out there. We're favored. They don't have Embiid. You go through the motions. Sacramento, there was a heightened awareness, and they couldn't do anything with Steph Curry. Putting 50. Wait, you think James Harden getting 45 last night?
I'd say that's pretty damn impressive.
Okay, but more impressive than Steph putting up 50.
It might be.
Okay.
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, make a decision.
Yeah. Well, I think it's for the audience to decide. Well,
no, I'm asking you.
No, my decision is to put the poll question up.
Yes, Todd.
I would lean towards Curry with the 50.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Steph with 31.5 is the over-under coming up tonight. Any other poll questions?
Yeah, we got a bunch, Dan. Who would benefit most from leading their team to a title? Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic?
I'd put Anthony Davis in there, too.
Like, their career would be raised up. Their legacy would be raised up forever.
Okay. You know what? Let's hold off on this, because I'll talk about this a little bit further. Because last night, Denver, Joker was wonderful. They beat the Suns, so now they're up 2-0. Chris Paul was injured, and so I don't know what his availability is going to be. Tweaked something, a hamstring. But KD did not look good. But Denver did what they're supposed to do. You know, as they always say, the series doesn't start until the home team loses. Well, Denver got both of the wins, and now you go back to Phoenix there. But we'll talk about what's at stake. And people think that Steph Curry and LeBron James have this unbelievable rivalry in history. If you think about the great moments between these two, there aren't a lot of great moments between these two. You know, the biggest shot between both of them was actually taken by Kyrie, where he won the title. LeBron had the big block on Andre Iguodala. He had a stare down between LeBron and, like, there's nothing that you go, wow, what a unbelievable rivalry. Now, this isn't Celtics-Lakers, but this is legacy rivalry. This is about LeBron's legacy and Steph. And if either one gets another title, okay, now we have some fun conversations. But we'll talk about that. Phone calls, we'll get to those as well. And next hour, Jeff Benedict, who wrote the book about LeBron James, just came out. He'll join us here in the Man Cave. Take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. LifeLock. You know, when you act, you're proactive. That's what I want with LifeLock. Because there's all kinds of problems with identity theft. And they're even targeting younger children. It's called the Frankenstein fraud. With the scam, thieves might combine the social security number of a child with the name of a deceased person, possibly details of a third person, creating a Frankenstein identity. Criminals then use the fake identity to continue various frauds and scams. It's going on right in front of us. That's why having LifeLock by Norton, you got a chance. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Promo code Patrick, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. as a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Devils closed out the Rangers last night. Two games coming up tonight. It's also fifth-year option day in the NFL. You get to find out if your team really, really likes you or not. Heat and Knicks coming up tonight, Lakers and the Warriors. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. They say good things come to those who wait. The Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. Takes no time at all to set up a test drive. Your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. All right, so we got the poll question. Who would benefit the most from winning a title, Seton? Is that how we want to phrase this?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, so which player?
We got a bunch here we could look at. You could say Steph Curry.
All right.
You could say LeBron.
Yeah.
James Harden is a good one.
Ooh.
Jokic, also a good one.
Durant,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of options here.
Well, I think the bigger picture is LeBron, because what that means for his legacy, there's only one person above him, and that's Michael Jordan. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Maybe you've heard of him.
Now you get up there. Now you start to look at the totality of LeBron's career, the all-time leading scorer, top five in assists and steals, everything he's done in the playoffs. Now you win one more title, and you do that with another franchise. So he's already won one title with the Lakers. He won one with Cleveland. He won a couple with the Miami Heat. And now you would win another one there in Los Angeles. It would be LeBron, because I think, you know, he has more to gain out of all of this. Kevin Durant to win a title without Steph, because Steph has won one without Durant, and then he won another one without Durant. Kevin could certainly use that, although he might not get as much credit because it feels like it's Devin Booker's team. Let's see. James Harden, that would be fascinating. But he might not get the credit it'd be Joel Embiid if he comes back. But Harden would be on, he'd be on a championship team. But he needs it, because we kind of look at him as a statistical wonder with how he played, putting up those numbers. I mean, he had about a five-year window where you're like, wow, this guy is left-handed Iverson. Yes, Mark.
Do you think James Harden might be considered maybe more like Oscar Robertson, a guy who was putting up numbers when he was young, and then later on he just got with a real dominant big man and changed his game a little bit, and he'll always be revered, especially if he wins a title in Philadelphia?
Yeah, but Oscar stayed with Cincinnati. They weren't a good team. He was a great player on a bad team, and then he got traded later in his career and then went to Milwaukee and won a title with Kareem or Lou Alcindor at the time. You know, Harden's been with good teams. Oklahoma City was a good team. They had the Warriors. His Rockets team at one point, he had a good team there. He was with the Nets. They had talent. And now it's not like he's been with schlocky teams. I think when he had that stretch when he was in Houston when they weren't very good, and then he wanted out, after he got all of his, he got everything he wanted, and then he wanted out. So that's different than Oscar. Marv.
I just mean as far as putting up great stats and then changing your game later on in your career. I didn't mean, look, they missed 27 straight three-pointers in a game 7 against the Warriors.
Yeah.
He needs it.
Yeah, but does he need it more than LeBron? LeBron's trying to be the greatest player of all time. That's like when somebody says, you know, what's the worst loss by a team that had an unbelievable regular season? Well, it has to be the Patriots when they lost to the Giants because they were going to go undefeated. So that's the biggest loss when you think about, oh, my God, this team went undefeated during the regular season. They were going to be the greatest team of all time. Therefore, you had the most to lose in a situation like that. Yeah, Paul.
You know, Steph Curry is interesting because, like, I'm going to get to him in a second, but like LeBron, I think, is in the opposite position that Tom Brady's in. When Tom Brady won another title, it's like he was He was like Usain Bolt. He was putting so much distance between himself and second place. LeBron, I think, is a position where, at worst, it's an argument with him and Jordan. I mean, at best, it's an argument with him and Jordan. He can win two more titles and still gonna be, and he'd be tied with Michael Jordan with titles, but I think it's always going to be a debate. I don't think he can separate himself because the Jordan people are entrenched.
Only if he wins one more title than Jordan.
Which he'd need three more to do.
Yeah. And that's highly unlikely.
Steph is kind of in the opposite position. We spent 10 minutes yesterday discussing who's removed from the top 10 with Reggie Miller to put Steph Curry in. He hasn't even won the title yet this year. And if he won the title, he could possibly go through LeBron, and even better, it'd be great to go through Durant. Every time if Steph wins a title, it actually hurts Durant more so.
Yeah, yeah. Steph's not going to, you know, get into that top five. If he won two more titles, then maybe you could make that argument with what he's done for the game. But coming up big, I mean, that's really important. That's why that Game 7 performance against Sacramento is going to stand out. What do you do in the big moments there? Winning those titles. LeBron, if you win another one, you're right on the doorstep there with Jordan. Then it becomes really, it's a tougher argument if you're a Jordan fanatic. If you're a sycophant, you at least have to acknowledge LeBron is there. He's in the conversation. They're sitting on the same couch, let's put it that way, in the living room. Yeah, Paul.
Marv and I were discussing this yesterday. There almost has to be a new echelon or something, because if you say the NBA top 10, is he in the top 10 or not top 10? Being 11th still means you're one of the all-time greatest players. But if he goes in the top 10, that means you have to remove Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant or Larry Bird. You know, he had back injuries. He didn't play a long time.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Right. And so it's almost like you need a new term. Like, there's an upper echelon of NBA players that you either enter the fraternity or you're not in the fraternity. Like, to me, Karl Malone is just outside.
No.
Just outside the all-time greats. I'm looking at Bleacher Report. They've got, like, Kevin Durant's ranked 13th. Jerry Rice is ranked 14th. Steph Curry, this is from 2 months ago, is 15th. Karl Malone, Kevin Garnett, Charles Barkley, guys like that. They seem just like one tick below, don't they?
I don't have them anywhere near the top 10. Now, if you say, are we doing the top 20 players of all time, top 15 players?
No number. Almost like a designation, like this is the GOAT club or whatever you want to call it. Mm. The greats of all time, not the greatest, because that's singular.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're either in or out. As much as I like Dr. J, he doesn't feel in the same breath as Kobe Bryant.
Well, people don't want to acknowledge Wilt Chamberlain. And I said, well, if you're not acknowledging Wilt's greatness, then you're not acknowledging Babe Ruth's greatness. Like, they were different in their eras. You know, they're just statistical, giants. And Wilt's the same thing. He didn't win as much as Babe did, but statistically, he's Babe Ruth. You have to be able to acknowledge both of them. And they don't feel real when you go, you know, Wilt averaged 50 a game in a season. You're going, no, he didn't. Yeah, he did. Led the league in assists. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. He had 55 rebounds. Yes, I know it was a whole different generation back then. And there were more missed shots. But still, if you're going to acknowledge Babe without integration, then you have to acknowledge Wilt Chamberlain. You just do, whether you believe it or not. But Bleacher Report has LeBron 2, Kareem 3, Bill Russell 4, Magic, Wilt's in there, Bird's in there, Shaq's in there, Duncan, Kobe. So that's 10 right there. If Steph wins another title, I think Larry Bird's coming out of there.
Oh,
I know.
You.
I know. I know. He was unbelievable in a briefer period of time. And that sounds sacrilegious to say that. You know, Bill Russell's in there. His team won. You know, statistically, I mean, he wasn't a good offensive player at all, but he won. And it's hard to categorize that. Kareem had always felt like, well, he wasn't as good as he should have been. You know, the big guy, Shaq, wasn't as good as he's supposed to be. The big guy always gets that knock. But I would think if LeBron won another title and he was leading the team to the title, not playing a Pippen role to Jordan, as he would with Anthony Davis, then I, man, he's right there. Who does Steph take out? I mean, it's tough. It's tough. Because you got Akeem 11, you got Oscar, Kevin Durant, Jerry West is there, then Steph Curry is 15. Yeah, Paulie.
Tim Duncan, no offense, was he?
But
like, is that no offense or no offense?
No offense.
Well, he averaged 19 and 11 for his career, and I know he's not a stat guy. He never led the league in any statistical category, rebounds. He's a beneficiary of all the winning, and he was the anchor of all the winning. I don't think he's a better basketball player than Charles Barkley. Basketball player, his resume is way, way, way better. But like Barkley led the league in rebounds a couple of times. I think Barkley averaged 28 one year. Yeah, Tim Duncan's best year was 25. And 25 and 13, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
For three blocks, it's fantastic. But like, I think Tim Duncan is pushed up on the list.
He's got titles.
Yes.
That's it.
But if you're saying individual players.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how we, you know, the definition of, you know, who's in the top 10 greatest talents of all time. Because there are guys that you could put in that were far more talented than some of these guys. I mean, Dr. J was more talented than Larry Bird. But are you going to put Dr. J in there? No. Because Dr. J, well, you know, we get into these discussions and it's not winnable. And then I bang my head against the wall like, why did I do this?
That's what this entire industry is based on, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know.
Why is Tim Duncan not a good player just because he was boring?
Oh no, he's a great player.
I know he's a great player, but he's like, yeah, but the other people were better, right? Like,
well, because he played on a team that had a Hall of Fame point guard, Hall of Fame two guard who didn't even start, and then you had a Hall of Famer in David Robinson, and you got a Hall of Fame coach. Right? Feels like that's what happens when you're on the Celtics. Like, you were on the team and you won titles and you put up some really good numbers there. Your favorite Tim Duncan moment is what, Seton? Okay. That hurts him, where you're going, oh, remember when? Remember the Knicks, when he beat the Knicks in the finals? I don't know. Marv?
When he wore sandals with jeans. But anywho.
Every day.
It's my favorite.
All right, fair enough. That was crazy that time he did that.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah,
Barkley had that Suns team that had talent. It wasn't, you know, all-time NBA talent, but it was a very talented team that was the biggest test Jordan ever got. It was very close to going the other way. Jordan could have that series could be Jordan could be 5-1 and Barkley could have the one. Barkley may be the guy who would benefit the most from having a ring because he would now be he'd be propped up a lot. People almost ignore Barkley's career because his post career is so good.
Yeah, but he didn't win.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You like, got to win.
If he took down Jordan, that chip would be unbelievable for Barkley's career.
Yeah, Marv.
I'm going to defend Tim Duncan. I know he's pretty boring, but look, as soon as he got to the Spurs, he changed. Season two, championship. I know they beat the AC Knicks lockout year, but then he kept winning. Look, imagine if Tim Duncan wasn't there. How many more titles would the Lakers, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, have? Like, he was fighting Kobe for those titles and vice versa.
Yes, Todd.
I believe if Duncan behaved more theatrically on the court, dressed more wacky, was a better soundbite, I think we would look at him a lot differently.
Well, we still don't know him. After all these years, we really don't know him. He doesn't do anything as far as, you know, he's not engaging. He doesn't do, you know, any media. What's he been, an assistant coach? He just, but that's who he is. I was there with him his rookie year. And went down there for a weekend and spent time with him. And he was one of the most humble, big-time guys you'll ever be around. And I remember him carrying everybody's bags. I'm like, wait, you're carrying everybody's bags? He goes, yeah, I'm supposed to. And it was just, that's who he was. Never, he loved talking about knives and tattoos.
Weird.
Yeah. That'd be it. And he was fascinated on who was going to be the top, 50 athletes that we did, the Sports Century top 50 athletes of all time. And I said to him, I'll tell you who's number one if you win the NBA title. He won the title, came into where we were with SportsCenter. First thing he did, because it was going to be post-game interview, he walked in, he goes, who's number one? And I said, you guys are. He goes, no, who's number one on the list? And I said, Michael Jordan. He goes, really? I said, yeah. First thing he said, who's number one on the list? You guys are. No. The Sports Century list. Michael Jordan. Let's see. We'll get some phone calls in here. Jason in Georgia. Hi, Jason. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to throw out a few things to you. You know, Steph's got four. LeBron's got four. You know, and I listen to your show every day, and I appreciate what y'all do. But don't you think you say that Steph has transcended the game way more than LeBron has?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's why I'm going to move him up the list, if that's what you're saying, Jason.
I mean, scoring points is all good, but he's the only person on the team that can score points, as LeBron is. Steph does distribute the ball pretty well towards his other teammates, and Jordan Poole's, you know, stepping up as the next heir apparent to the Splash Brothers, I think.
Yeah, but Steph isn't even the best passer on his own team.
He's not. No, he's not.
That's Draymond. And you know, Klay Thompson's had some memorable games scoring-wise. It's not just Steph, and Steph, you know, this is what happens when you get into this discussion. Then you start to knock somebody down, and that's why I get a little nervous doing it, because, like, are we going to be critical of Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain or Larry Bird? And that's what it sounds like. I'm just wondering if LeBron wins another title, and now he's got five. I don't think Steph could move in front of LeBron. Just look at LeBron's career. I mean, it's 20 years of excellence. If Steph would win, let's say he'd win two more titles. Okay, now he's there, he's got six. You're never going to get people to budge off, you know, Mount Jordan. They're just not. They will not acknowledge that. It just won't. People forget that Mike did miss a couple of shots in his career.
No video.
Yeah, that's true.
But Jordan, people can come up with any argument to your argument. Like, if I'm always a Jordan guy, but like, Jordan was 6-0, but like you said, he didn't make it to the finals a bunch of times.
Yeah, there were nine other years where he didn't.
LeBron's 4-6, right?
Yeah, so, but we look at it as a negative that LeBron lost those titles.
That's how Jordan fans look at it.
And I'm like, no, he played for titles. Are we going to knock Tom Brady because he lost Super Bowls?
But yeah, people have spent years doing that.
Well, it's wrong.
It's the Brady Montana argument. I never lost. It's a good line, but that just means you didn't get there more than him.
To get there and compete is what it's all about. Get a chance to win a title. You may lose. If you didn't play well and you lost, now it's a negative. You could use that against somebody, I think. If you don't play well and the other guy you're going against plays great, then yeah, it'll be a knock on you. Yes, Marv.
Yeah, so losing in the wild card round to the Vikings in 87, they're like, see, but he didn't lose any Super Bowls, though. He may have lost the wild card, but he never lost in the Super Bowl.
All right, let me take a break. We got our play of the day coming up next. We'll get to more phone calls as well. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this promo right now, it means you're listening to some other show. Well, why the hell are you doing that?
Yeah, get your priorities straight.
Well, maybe, Tony, they listened to this week's episode already.
I don't care. Listen to it again.
Yeah, great point there, Tony. Anyway,
you.
So you listening out there, make sure and go do that and listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, Time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left, I got it!
I am playing and playing.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
15 seconds to go. Horford has him out top. James with a dribble. Harden one-on-one. 9 seconds on the shot clock. Harden for three. Shot up. It's good. Harden made a triple. The Sixers go up by two. 8 seconds to go.
That's your play of the day brought to you by the Fanatics 76ers Radio Network. Harden goes for 45. Play of the day brought to you by Meguiar's. They've come to the rescue again. The new hybrid ceramic tire shine renews dull tires by darkening the appearance, adding long-lasting high gloss, keeping it shining even when exposed to water. Give Meguiar's hybrid ceramic tire shine a try. Meguiar's, reflect your passion. I mentioned at the start of the show that this is fifth-year option day in the NFL. And if you're the Green Bay Packers, today you have to decide what you're going to do with the fifth year with Jordan Love. He's going to make around $2 million this year. And then if they pick up the fifth-year option, he's going to make over $21 million. And Brian Gutekunst, the GM, said, well, that's a lot of money to give to somebody who hasn't played that much. That's true. But what's it say if the Packers don't pick up that fifth-year option? Right? That'd be an interesting situation because now you're going to say to Jordan Love, well, you're going to have to bet on yourself here. And it'll signal that the Packers made a mistake with Jordan Love because this should be a no-brainer, right? You should be able to see enough of him where you go, of course we're going to pick up the fifth-year option. But at $21 million, if he's good, okay, that's a bargain. And then you have a Daniel Jones situation. Do you extend him? Do you franchise him? Non-exclusive franchise tag? Yes, Eden?
But even Jordan Love doesn't know if he can play at this level yet. I mean, it's still kind of an unknown, right? I mean, he doesn't have a ton of reps to look back at and be like, oh, no, this kid is definitely the real deal. He doesn't even know if he could do it yet. So why should the Packers be sort of forced to say, we believe in you. You're absolutely the guy when even he himself isn't sure yet.
Well, they're not forced to. They can decide that they're not going to. I mean, they don't have to do it. But if I'm Jordan Love and they don't pick that up, Yeah, you're going to be a free agent.
Like, but you can't. But he can't be like, they didn't believe in me.
Well,
like,
he can be.
Yeah, well, he can be, but he shouldn't be. Because nobody knows. Nobody has any idea how he's going to play. It's this great unknown. So how could you possibly have like the audacity to be like, well, they didn't believe in me?
Well, I don't know if Jordan Love is that kind of person where he's going to say that. But the Packers are the ones who are saying, hey, you know, that's a lot of money to give you.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. But they should know by now if he can play. They should know. And therefore, it would be either a no-brainer that we're going to pick it up or we're not going to pick it up. What would be a successful season for Jordan Love? And this is what people should factor in, and they won't. They're not going to be fair to him. They need to look at what Aaron Rodgers did the first year he started after sitting on the bench behind Favre for 3 years. And Aaron Rodgers did not play well at all. Probably had more interceptions than touchdown passes. They had, what were they, 6-10 that year,
yeah,
Pauline?
He started 16 games. He was 25 years old. He had sat for 3 years. His numbers were good, 28 touchdowns and 13 picks.
Okay.
But for him, 13 picks is like 40 for another guy. But then after that, it went perfect.
Yeah. And you didn't know what you had, but then they did know. Because sometimes when you're just watching somebody in practice and they may go against the first team defense, you'll get a pretty good sense of how good that guy is. And I would think the Packers know what they have in Jordan Love. But what would be, like, he's got to be good. He can't be average because you traded up to get him. And because of that, you created the animosity, acrimony with Aaron Rodgers right then. Because if you don't draft Jordan Love, you probably still have Aaron Rodgers. Now, whether you want Aaron Rodgers or not at this stage of his career and making that kind of money, you know, that's a different conversation. But that pick led to, you know, the separation here, the divorce. Because if you didn't use a first-round draft, if they took a quarterback in the fourth round, you don't have any acrimony there. I don't think there's any anger. But because of that, you didn't help him that year with the player in the first round. And it led to Aaron Rodgers eventually saying, hey, you know, you guys want to move on? Then I'll go. Yeah, Marv.
With Jordan Love, are you talking about individual success or team success?
Well, I think it's got to be both. Because if he throws for 28 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, if you said those are his numbers, I think if you're a Packer fan and you're above 500, you'd be like, okay, I'll take that. But how many? I don't know what the over-under is on touchdown passes this year. It's probably around 20, 23, 24 maybe for Jordan Love. I don't know what DraftKings had. I think we talked about this. Even Aaron Rodgers, I think his over-under touchdown passes is, what, 31.5, something like that? But I think if Jordan Love is going to be good and the team is good, and I don't think you can look at this and go, let me base who won this trade by how Aaron Rodgers plays. That shouldn't matter to you. Aaron didn't want to stay. You didn't want to keep him. And now he's with the Jets. They could win the Super Bowl. You can still win the trade if Jordan Love is good. But if he's not, then you did lose the trade. Because you bet on Jordan Love years ago. Yeah, Pauline.
I can get you plus 5,000 on Jordan Love for MVP if you want to get down on that.
Do we have his over-under touchdown passes?
I don't see any props on that yet.
There have to be.
Yeah, I'm looking.
What about Aaron Rodgers? Because I thought his were like 31.5, something like that, for some reason. Yeah, Marv.
I thought it was 31.5, but I'm going to double-check.
Yeah, I thought it was for some reason. But Jordan Love, that team, you make the playoffs? But I would imagine the Packers pick up that option. It's $21 million. Yeah, Paul.
Fifth-year option day is almost like a stamp, like, yeah, you worked out as a draft picker. Yeah. No, we really don't want
you. But how many first-round picks get extended and get their fifth-year option picked up? I mean, it feels like it's about 50%. But when you draft a quarterback, you move up to draft a quarterback, he's got to work out. He wrote the book on LeBron. Jeff Benedict, author, will join us here in the Man Cave coming up.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.